This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Morning is in the book of Joshua. We'll be looking at chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. And he spoke unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were all gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. This is God's word.
So if you'd like to follow along, you can open up to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. We'll start there. You know, 40 years is a very long time. I was thinking about this. I'm 33, so 40 years from now I'll be 73 if I got my math right. I'll probably look and feel very different. Probably whatever's left up here will probably be gray. 40 years is a long time. If you're 10 years old in here this morning, 40 years from now means you'll be 50. Think of it. If you're 20, 40 years from now means you'll be 60. If you're 40, 40 years from now means you'll be 80. If you're 60, 40 years from now means you'll be 100, if you make it. If you're 70, not so sure. Though Brother Rodney's mother almost made it. I think she was 107. 40 years is a long time. The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years. So those who were 10 when they started out were now 50. Those who were 20 are now 60. The others didn't make it. You see, God had decided that the generation which would be of warring age and older, those who could fight in the army and older, they would not enter into the promised land as a judgment because the people complained against the Lord and did not trust the Lord when they sent the 12 spies into the land of Canaan. So God said, that generation will make it, the next generation will. So 40 years have gone by and they come to the border of the promised land. And they are going to enter into the promised land. God had said that he's going to wipe out the nations that reside there because their sins have reached the limit. And he's going to establish the people into the promised land, into a land flowing with milk and honey. God, at this point, decided that he wants to do a work for them to see, to encourage them to know that they can trust him to do the work of victory in the land of Canaan. And not only did God want to do a work, but God wanted them to remember that work. God wanted them to remember it so that as they continue to do the will of God in the land, they can recall the work that God did, and it would further solidify their faith in God, who will continue to do the work ahead of them. You see, God wanted to do a work so that as they do the will of God, they'd remember that work so they'd continue to do the will of God. God wants to do a work in your life Sometimes God wants to do a special work in your life. But he doesn't want to just do a work that solidifies your faith. He wants you to remember it. He wants you to remember it. Imagine there is this father and son walking through the land of Israel. The father wants to take the son out fishing. And so they're going to go to the Jordan River. And as they're going across the land, approaching the river, they go through the town of Gilgal. And as they're passing through, which the father intended to go this way for a reason, as they're going this way, the son looks and sees there's a pile of rocks in Gilgal. And he counts the rocks, and there are 12 of them. And he looks to his dad and he says, "Father, what do these rocks mean?" And the father says to the son, "I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you a story. You see, the stones have a story. The stones are a memorial of what God did. And God wanted that father to remember it for a purpose. So let's follow the story. Let's jump into the story and be there. Be at the banks of the Jordan to see the work that God did and to show us how God wants us to remember his works. We'll start in chapter 3. Look at the first handful of verses there. "Then Joshua rose early in the morning. They set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. When they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before.'" And look at verse 5. "And Joshua said to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.'" So here the people are, after wandering 40 years, a new generation, they're just full of vigor and readiness to do the will of God. They come to the banks of the Jordan. Now, during this season, Jordan River is full to the brim, and it's flowing. There's the land. Here they are. There's the Jordan. 3 days they camp there. And God says, through Joshua to the people, Joshua tells them, God is going to do a wonder in your midst. Verse 5. God is going to do a work in your midst. He's going to do something wonderful. Now, when I read that, I thought to myself, well, that's kind of strange that Joshua needs to say to the people, God's going to do a miracle. Because if you think about it, for 40 years, every single day in the wilderness, God miraculously sent manna from heaven to feed them. Every single day for 40 years, God miraculously appeared to them as a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night. Every day, 40 years. And then at the end of it, Joshua says to them, and God's going to do a miracle. And I thought about that and I think to myself, you know, it's great when God does these abnormal things in our lives that he just answers a prayer or he does some magnificent thing, but let us never forget the everyday miracles that God does in our midst. Amen? God is continually sending us manna every single day, a miracle from heaven. May we never forget it. Remember the work of God. God is sending us a pillar of smoke by day, a pillar of fire by night, as a miracle in our midst every single day. Because we have a tendency to get wrapped up in wanting the special things, the mighty works, the abnormal and unusual experiences, but yet every single day of our lives as Christians, God is doing something that is miraculous in our souls. Think about it, for example, the fact that you, an lost sinner dead in your sins, now are a child of God. Think about the fact that every single day you live as a Christian, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the very presence of Almighty God dwells inside of you. Is that a miracle? That's a miracle, the fact that God Almighty, infinite in glory, could dwell inside of a sinful human being whom He has redeemed. May we never forget the manna of God miraculously speaking to us through His Word by His Spirit inside of us. May we never forget the everyday works. May we remember the everyday miracles. As we pray to God and He listens and hears and answers, as we walk and we do, when we are Christians and we do something and it's like the fruit of the Spirit comes outside of us, that immediately should be, wow, God, that's a miracle. Because I can't do that by myself. If you are living as a Christian and you some sort of victory occurs in your life where you overcome some sort of sin and temptation, or you do the will of God in sharing the gospel, or God stirs you up to give or stirs you up to serve, and you look back and you see this work done, that's a miracle. The fruit of the Spirit is a miracle, working through dead sinners, giving us life through Christ. And Joshua looks at the people that have seen manna from heaven, pillars of fire, pillars of smoke, and he says, God's going to do a wonder. But it does tell me that on occasion, God will do things that are unusual. God will do things that are special. God will do things that are fine-tuned for our situation because He knows us. He knows that we are frail. And He wants to give assurance to us that He is alive. Look down in verse 9. Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. This is how you shall know the wonder. You could have known through the manna and the pillar of fire, but this is how you shall know. And if you are alive through the crossing of the Red Sea, but this is the work God is going to do. You see, God may give you and grant you a special work, a special answer to prayer, a special revelation of His presence in your life, because He is preparing you for something He wants you to do. And He needs to give you assurance that He's alive and He's at work if you are following Him. And here it is. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. So the people are hearing this and they're hearing, God's going to cross the Jordan. The Ark of the Covenant, the very physical manifestation of the presence of God in the midst of Israel, is going across the Jordan. The Jordan's flowing. The Jordan is mighty. But the people are going to cross. Imagine you're part of the camp. You've camped there for 3 days. 3 days you've been there. Imagine you're a mother and you have your little infant child. And you're looking at those waters. And the promised land's on the other side of them. What do you think? Imagine you're a father. You've got your family. You have all your livestock. You have all your belongings that you managed to keep. Or that was passed down from you. The promised land is there. There's a Jordan. Imagine you're crippled in some way because of some accident along the way in the wilderness, and you can't swim. There's the promised land. There's the Jordan. To them, it may have looked like an impossible barrier. And sometimes when God does a special work in your life, it is because He wants to show you that He can overcome what looks like impossible barriers. Because sometimes things happen where we could say it's God at work or something, but somebody could step along and look at it and say, well, no, these circumstances just happened to work themselves together and it was just a matter of coincidence. There could be maybe some earthly reason for the work, but when God does a special thing, He wants to do it to show that there's no doubt that it was His involvement and intervention in your life to do the work. So that all glory would be given to Him and so that you would have the faith to trust Him for the next work that He has for you. You see, you cannot feed 5,000 men, women, and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You can't do it. You can try to divvy it up, but you'll only get a molecule that's not going to feed you. It's an impossible thing, but Jesus comes and He takes it and He feeds everybody to the full and there's some left over because Jesus is in the business of overcoming impossible barriers. And God, when He does a special work, He wants to show that He is able to overcome impossible barriers. Now there's a caveat. Sometimes God wants you to swim through the Jordan. Let me be clear. Sometimes God says, there's a Jordan I need you to pass through and you're going to get wet. And you're going to be struggling to stay afloat, but trust me, you won't drown. When you pass through the waters, they will not overtake you. When you pass through the fires, you will not be burned. But there are times when God does want to show us a work in which He overcomes an impossible barrier to strengthen our faith. Because He wants us to remember that we can trust Him. Now look how the story continues. Here are the directions. Take for yourselves 12 men. We're in verse 12. Take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. Now stop right there. Joshua said to the priests, you're going to take the Ark, and you're going to go into the Jordan and cross over. So they are understanding that they're going to make it. But they don't take a step until they take a step before the waters stop. You see that? It does not say that the water stopped and then they took a step. Because that would be easy, wouldn't it? It would be very easy to do the will of God. If God works, then we can obey. God, you do your part, then I'll trust you. You see, I see the ground is dry. It's different than the Red Sea. You see, the Red Sea, it was a special thing. God parted the waters as Egypt was coming. They saw the dry ground, they could walk. But here, God is asking the priest to take a step into the water. And it doesn't say He tells them when to stop. You see, sometimes as believers, obedience means obeying, trusting God, even though by sight we don't see it. You read something in the Bible, and it's like totally opposite of what your experience is right now in life. Completely different than what you're experiencing as far as these interventions and such. Maybe God is working a Jordan River experience rather than a Red Sea experience. Maybe God is working something in you where He wants you to get in. He's saying, take a step in the water. Go. Maybe God wants you to trust Him before He does the work. And so the priests, by faith, stepped into the water. And when they stepped in obedience, God stopped the waters. Now, if you think about it, it doesn't say that the waters parted like they did at the Red Sea. It said that the water stopped way up there in a town called Adam. And so the remaining water in the river had to continue to travel downstream. So what that means is, it wasn't all at once. They had to step, and they had to step, and the water had to drain, and the water had to drain. You see, the will of God sometimes is something that takes time. Sometimes the work of God in your life is not an immediate, miraculous intervention of just overnight happening. Sometimes it is the process of God working out His plan for your life. Regardless of whether it's a Red Sea or a Jordan, you walk by faith. And He will bring His will to pass in your life as you trust Him in obedience. They step, they walk. The waters stood still in verse 16. The waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Arabah, the sea salt, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. The work was completed. God did the work. He came through. But God didn't just immediately send them into Jericho. God at this point did something so that the people would not forget the work. The work was enough. The work was sufficient. But God wanted the people to do something so that they would remember the work. And so we pick up the story in chapter 4. It came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one from every tribe, and command them, saying, 'Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight.'" So God says, right where the priests were standing on dry ground, there are all these stones scattered. 12 men, one from each of the tribes, 12 stones. Pick them up, carry them to Gilgal, where you'll rest, and set them up there. Why would he do that? Is there going to be some power in the rocks? What's going on here? Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you." A sign. A reminder. When your children ask you in time to come, saying, "What do these stones mean to you?" Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. God did the work. It was God in the ark who went into the midst of the Jordan so that the people could stop by. It is God who does the work when He saves us so that we can enter into eternal life. But He wants us to remember it. And so He said to the children of Israel, "Do this, pick up the stones, put it there. When you see the stones, it'll remind you of this work." Why did He need to do that? Well, let's be honest. We are forgetful people. Let's just be honest. God does wonderful things in our lives, but we forget, don't we? Amen. We often forget. And God does not want them to forget. He wants them to remember His work. Remember, this is a memorial. Remember the work of God. We have a tendency to forget. Every night, I go around our house and I check to make sure every door is locked. And so I go down into the garage and I check the garage passage door, check it. And then I go up and I go to the front door and I check it. And then I go up and I do the back door and I check it. There have been many nights where I know that I moved in the direction of the doors. And I'll be stepping away from the back door and I'll think to myself, did I actually check the front door? Or did I just walk by it? There have been many nights when before we're fast asleep, Alicia will say to me, did you check the doors? I think to myself, I have a nostalgic experience of something related to doors in my past. But I cannot, for the life of me, pull up in the memory bank of my brain a vision of me holding that doorknob. And so all the wrestling of, I'm so tired, I don't want to get up, I probably already checked it, but I don't know for sure. I'm 99, but I'm not 100. And so I get out and I check it again. Or I check it the first time. We're forgetful people. How many times have you thought of something you have to do? You go into the room. Oh, look at that. Why did I come into this room? How many times has that happened? And that's just simple everyday things. I came across a John Hopkins researcher, the things that people most often forget. Names. 83% of the people said that they forget names. 60% where something is. 57% telephone numbers. 53% words. 49% what was said. 42% faces. And if you can't remember whether you've just done something a moment ago, like me with the doors, you're about 38% of the population. We're forgetful people. And so God wants to set up the stones as a reminder of His work in the people's lives. And you and I, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we need to continually exercise the discipline of remembering the works of God. Because it does not come naturally. It's not something that just happens on its own. It is a discipline which we need to cultivate, or else our walk with the Lord will be hindered. We need to constantly bring to mind, using the gift of our heads, the things which God has done yesterday, the day before, a year ago, and continually. And sometimes it's helped to write them down, keep a journal. And sometimes it's helpful to have objects in our lives that remind us of those things. How many of your Bibles that you use, you open up to the page somewhere, there's a leaf in there somewhere, there's a flower in there somewhere, there's something in there wedged in between because you were reading that Bible and God spoke to you and something spoke to you and you wrote it down, you underlined it, and where you were having your devotions in the field, there was a leaf there or there was a flower there and you wanted to remember that, so you plucked it, you put it in, you close it, it's there to this day. Why? So you could remember. So you could remember. Now notice here, that Joshua was not commanded, the people were not commanded to gather 12 people, carry one giant stone to the land. There were 12 people asked to carry 12 individual stones. And something that speaks to me about is the fact that God does a work in your life, but He wants you as an individual to remember. The 12 tribes of Israel represented all the people. So that when the man who was of the tribe of Naphtali saw the stone that the man that represented Naphtali put there, he said, God did that for me. I'm of the tribe of Naphtali. That stone represents me. And so when you remember the Lord, you remember His works, God wants you individually to do this. Because God is at work individually in your life. You're not an isolated person who is forgotten by God while God's doing works in the people. You are God's precious child. He's working in your life and He wants you to remember it. Why did He put this memorial up? So they wouldn't forget. But also, listen now, here is an important part. God wants you to remember what He does in your life, not just so that you can be strengthened in your faith to do the will of God. It's not just for you. It's not just for me. You see, in verse 6, it says, "This may be a sign among you when your children ask in times to come." Or as Brother Todd read later in verse 21, that he spoke to the children of Israel saying, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know." You see, God wants us to remember His work so that we can pass it along to the next generation. Here in the text, it speaks of a father to a son. And so, yes, parents must pass on the works of God that God did in your life to the next generation. God wants you as a parent to ensure that your children know that God is working in your life so that they, as they grow up and they experience their own walk with the Lord, they can remember the work that God did in your parents' life and it helps them in their relationship. But there's more to be said. It's not just the passing on of parents to a child. It's the passing on of those who have walked with God to those who are not quite at the position you are, in the sense of you may be a Christian for many years. That does not necessarily mean you are a mature Christian. Listen now, this is very important. Being a Christian for decades does not make you a mature Christian. Neither does being a Christian for 1 year make you automatically an immature Christian. What matters is walking with God in obedience grows you in your faith. And that's why there can be people who have been believers for decades and they're called baby Christians because they have not yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit to obey. But if you've been a Christian for many years and you've walked with God and you've gotten a taste of what it means to know the Lord, God wants you to pass that on to those who are growing in their faith. Maybe they're new believers. They need to see and know the works that God has done in your life, and you need to pass that on to them. You have a story to tell. You have a Jericho work of God to share. And God has saved this individual or that individual, or this person just came to faith. Maybe they're older. They just came to faith. They need to know of what God did in your life so that they can know that this is the living God. So children, yes. Newer believers, immature believers, yes. But also, this memorial is for the whole world. In verse 24, "This memorial is so that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty." You see, God wants you to remember what He's doing in your life, not just for your children, not just for other Christians in the church, but so that when you are out there doing the will of God, sharing the gospel, spreading the kingdom of God, when you come across somebody who doesn't know God, you have works of God to share to them and let them know that this is the living God who is mighty. This is what He did in my life, and this is what He can do for you. The woman at the well goes back into Samaria and she says, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." And if you've been a Christian for many years, and you have things that God has done in your life, manna, pillars, Red Seas, Jordans, whatever the case may be, somebody who doesn't know the Lord needs to hear that as a part of the gospel, so that they know this is not a fable, this is not a story tale, this is the living God, that the hand of the Lord was at work and that it is mighty. The world needs to hear. Brothers and sisters, your life is a story. God is giving you a stone. Your stone has a story. Remember the works of the Lord. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in this wilderness for 40 years to humble you and to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And I close with this. There may be a day when the works of the Lord in your life is all you can remember. I came across this a recording of somebody who was recording their elderly loved one. She was an old woman, and she had severe dementia. This happens. As people get older, it is very common. You forget things. And sometimes a person reaches a point where all the memories they had, they can't recall. And this person was recording this loved one and asking her questions. What day is it today? And she just kind of looked blankly into the distance and said, I don't know. What did you have for lunch today? She thinks and she chuckles and says, food. And who is, and they named a couple of people, which I assume would be close relatives or people that she would have known. Who is this person? Who is that person? I don't know. And I went through all these questions to this lady of simple things that we should remember. And she said, I don't know. Then the person said this. Who is Jesus Christ? And she went like this. He's the one who saved me. And it may be the case that you may reach a point that the work of God in saving you from your sin may be the only thing you can remember. Until we cross the Jordan, we enter the promised land, and everything is restored, and we remember how God led us through this life into His glory. But a day that will be, amen? Remember the works of the Lord. The stones have a story. Father God in heaven, I pray, help us, help me, to remember always that You are at work in our lives. If we have trusted in You as our Lord and Savior, You are at work. We may not see it, we may not understand it, but You say it. We believe it. May we walk in obedience because You are the God who works. And help us always to remember what You have done so that we will continue to follow You. I pray, Lord, if somebody here this morning has not trusted in You as Lord and Savior, I pray that they would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. I pray that they would trust in You, not in their works for salvation. I pray that they would receive You as Lord and Savior. Father God in heaven, thank You for being the living God in our lives and guide us into tomorrow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.